We're right at the end of another year, right at the end of 2025. It's coming to a close here in just a few days. And I think many of us, if not a majority of us, will be over the next few days, over the next couple weeks, be reflecting on our 2025, what we've done, what we've accomplished, where we've been. For me, I look back on trips with the youth group to Gulf and to Great L2L Convention. I think back to trip to Searcy for a week of intensive class, writing papers. I think about the Baby Moon page that I went to Hilton Head. I think back to directing camp for the first time with a great staff and a great group of other co-directors. I think back to graduating several great seniors out of the youth group, but adding in several great sixth graders. I think back to the last few months of learning Biblical Hebrew and every day counting down to the moment I'm done with studying Biblical Hebrew. Ricky understands, I believe. And I think back to that almost last now 5 months with Kennedy. And at this time, like I said, many of us are doing that. We're thinking back on our year. For some areas of our life, some very specific areas, as you can see on the screen, that's done for us. If you have a Spotify account, you get a Spotify Wrapped, and it'll tell you your year in listening to music or podcasts or audiobooks. It'll tell you some of the stats on how much the minutes you've listened to those things, your favorite genre, your top artists, your most liked songs. You can try to guess which one of those is mine, but I can tell you very confidently it's not the one that has Taylor Swift number one. If you use the McDonald's app, you get this year, I think for the first time maybe, something called the McD's Unbagged, and it'll give you your stats of eating McDonald's throughout the year. And so I'm exposing myself a little bit that I like to get a Dr. Pepper every now and then. I get it at the counter too. It told me that. It's really getting detailed. If you order at Chick-fil-A, which I'm sure most of us have this year, you get your Chick-fil-A stats, the amount of points you got this year, your most ordered item, where you ordered it at. Again, we can see we're getting tracked quite a bit, but it's fun to look at the end of the year. If you're a reader and you have a Goodreads account, it'll tell you your year in books. This is from last year for me. It'll tell you how many pages you read, the amount of books you read. It'll show, as you can see in the bottom right, shortest book you read, and it'll show you your longest book too. It'll show the book that you read that the most other people read, or book that you read that you were one of the only few that read it. And if you have Life 360, an app where you can track your loved ones, I like that it called it a stalked recap. I'm not sure how much I like my driving age. I don't think I'm an 89-year-old driver, but maybe I am. I think Paige would say I am. But you get all these stats. You get all these stats about your driving, the days you spent looking at the app, or how many times you opened the app, how long you've been on the app, your favorite emoji you sent to loved ones or the people you track. And there's other ways you can do it. I thought about going into Amazon, making my own Amazon Wrapped. Many of us probably use ChatGPT now or get on it every once in a while. I noticed the other day that ChatGPT has a year in review and telling you how much you use their AI software. And I say all that to say, looking back on this last year, what would your 2025 Wrapped look like? And I'm not as interested in how many minutes of music you listened to or what books you read this year, how often you stalked your loved ones on Life 360 or Find My Friends. If you want to share those with me, I'd be happy to listen and hear that information. But I'm more asking, looking back on our year, and looking back, I'm glad we don't have the new banners up yet, because looking back on this theme that we've had of being like Jesus this year, and how well we did at doing that, how well we did at following Jesus, or imitating Jesus this year, or making disciples, of serving like Jesus, learning, growing, and maturing over the last year, and helping one another. Looking back on our year, this like Jesus theme, what would our Wrapped look like, our year in review? Because I know this theme wasn't just put up there to have a theme, or these banners aren't here just to say we have banners in our church, but there was time spent in picking this theme and thinking through the sub-themes, these subcategories, and the classes that were designed around this theme and created and taught around this theme. And so there was great intention that for this year, West Metro as a family and us as individuals, we're going to spend this year being like Jesus and growing in these areas. So how did you do? And as any minister has probably ever heard and been taught in school, I'm preaching to myself as much. I'm asking myself as much these questions as I'll be asking us today, as the rest of you today. So how much time do we spend this year following Jesus? And that might be a silly question. It might be, of course I follow Jesus. I'm here on Sundays. I come on Wednesdays. I was here for some of our special activities throughout the year. But I mean by that question, truly spent time following Jesus. We know following, the idea of to follow someone or follow something is a verb. It's something that's actively done. So how much time did we spend this year not only saying we were Christians, that we were believers, but living as believers? How much time did we spend letting Jesus being the voice we listen to the most? How much time did we spend making decisions based on our faith and the will of our Lord versus our own will, our own plans and views? How much time did we spend setting aside the things of this world so we could follow Christ? How much time did we spend removing the things that keep us from Christ? How much time did we spend keeping his commands, living in the way he taught us to live? How much time do we spend not only knowing Jesus, but living in him? Scripture's clear that to follow Jesus is a priority. It should be our main priority. It's 24/7, putting Christ above all. Mark 8:34 says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." 1 John 2:3-4 says, "And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Jesus interacting with the rich ruler, and as the rich ruler is asking him all these questions, Jesus tells him to remove the greatest thing that kept him from Christ, from following him, to sell his possessions. In Luke 9:57-62, Jesus lays out the cost of following Christ, of following him. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me," but he said, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." And Jesus said, "Leave the dead to bury their own, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Scripture is clear. Jesus plainly tells us what it means to follow him, what needs to be done. How much time did we spend doing that? Of leaving aside the things of this world, these commitments we've made so we can follow Christ first and above all. How much time did we spend being imitators of him? How much time did we spend not only looking at the life of Christ, seeing how he lived, how he interacted, how he spoke with people, how he handled the trouble that was thrown at him, how he loved? How much time did we spend not just looking at those things, but also imitating those examples? How often did someone see the way we spoke, the way we acted, the way we handled stress and pressure and cared for others and loved others and think that's not normal? That's got to be something different because we were living like Christ. And Jesus left much to imitate. We can imitate the way he stopped and spoke with the bleeding woman who was as desperate gets. The way he spoke with the woman at the well when others had long ago cast her out of their society. The way he healed the servant of the centurion or the synagogue leader's daughter when others would have quickly cast them aside as the enemy, whether the enemy of the Jewish people at large or somebody tied to those who directly opposed Jesus. We can imitate the way he provided for many. The way he gave of himself, the way he obeyed the Father, the way he humbled himself, the way he helped those in need, the way he served, the way he was self-sacrificial, the way he did everything, has been left for us to imitate. Scripture is clear of this as well as something we need to do. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Ephesians 5:1-2 says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." And 1 John 2:6 says, "Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." Scripture again is clear that we should imitate Christ, walk in him just as he walked. So looking back on this last year, how did we do it imitating Christ? How did we do it making disciples this year? Again, Scripture's quite clear on this. This is our job, our task, our mission. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" We've all been tasked to share the good news of Christ to the world. Not a portion of it, not a good part of it, not a majority of it, but the whole world. And this task, in these couple verses, there's no qualification on who is tasked with this. It's not set aside for just those disciples who first heard this commission, to those who have labels of ministers and elders, deacons, missionaries, those that only have formal educations and trainings. And this isn't for only adults either. It's a common saying to say that the youth is the future of the church, the future leaders of the church. And I know we say it, I know I've probably said it, but I really don't like that saying. So I'm talking to the youth for just a moment, because we have several youth who have come to Christ, who are in relationship with him, and you've been given this mission as well. You've been commissioned to share the good news of the Lord. And we all have been, those of us in Christ, called to go and make believers, make disciples, bringing them to know Jesus, bringing them to the one and only who can offer them salvation, sharing the love that God has for them and the desire he has to be in relationship with them, living in such a way that shows Jesus to others and sharing Jesus in the words we speak. And I like that in this, and I think we often kind of skip over this in part when we look at the Great Commission, that we know the making disciples of all nations, baptizing them, but I think we often skip over the teaching them all my commands part. It's not just about getting them into the water here behind me and just saying, all right, go be a disciple on your own now. It's continuing to walk with them, continuing to teach them, continuing to make concerted efforts to be with those who are in Christ or to going to those in need of Christ and not waiting for them to come to us. So how do we do at making disciples in 2025? How well did we serve this year in 2025? We know what service looks like because Scripture shows us that as well. Matthew 25, 34 through 40 gives us an example and gives us an illustration of what service looks like. King will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you in sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." Jesus gives a pretty straightforward example of what service looks like. It's done in the practical. It's done in providing when needs need to be met, caring for others when they aren't able to do it for themselves. But Jesus also demonstrated complete service in John 13, 1 through 5. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him." I love all the details in those few verses. It starts off, all the things going on around Jesus. His time's coming. He's been betrayed already. There's much that his mind could have been on, but he's focused on what he's about to do for the disciples, the example he's about to set. And then also, I've said it so many times, probably up here and with the teens, that just the details given in how Jesus served. Jesus could have easily given an example of how to serve by telling them what to do and just teaching them. He could have half-heartedly done this, grabbed a rag quickly and slapped it across a few feet and said, that's what you need to do. But he got up from their table, and the middle school class will remember this. It wasn't just getting up from a chair, most likely, like you all are sitting right now. He reclined on some cushions on the ground, got up from the table, fully clothed himself to serve, and then washed each and every one of those disciples' feet, including Judas's. He left this example to show us true service, humbling ourselves, fully giving ourselves to service. And this isn't this idea of serving, and all of these ideas, all of these sub-themes for this year aren't just boxes to be checked off. We don't go through our day and say, all right, I followed Jesus today, check. I imitated Jesus for a moment today, check. I made a disciple today, check. I served for a moment today, check. We've been hitting on this again in the middle school class, that all of these, especially with this idea of service, shouldn't just be these tasks to be completed. It's who we are. It's our identity. It should be our identity. And so how well did we serve this year? Serving like Jesus, with love and care and compassion, humbling ourselves. How do we do it learning, growing, and maturing? And I don't mean growing another year older or learning new material in school for our students. There's so many sayings about learning that learning keeps us young. It should be a lifelong activity. We grow all the time around us, and physically, we get better at something, we develop talents, and the same should be true about our walk in Christ, that we should be constantly learning, constantly growing in Him, constantly maturing in our faith. Proverbs 10:17 says, "Whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray." Peter writes in 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And Paul writes in Ephesians 4:11-15, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ." To learn, grow, and mature is to make being like Jesus, I believe, easier. And to make serving like Jesus, following Jesus, imitating Jesus, an easier task, an easier thing to do, an easier way to make that our identity. To learn His ways, learning of His love, learning of what He has done, learning of His love for us, maturing as believers. All of that we can't do just passively either. We can't just sit around and expect these things to come. We have to seek growth, to seek maturity, seek knowledge and wisdom, and realize and recognize that we don't get to a point where we know enough, or we've grown enough, or we've matured enough into the perfect believer, that we should all constantly be growing, learning and maturing. So how do we do it at spending this year learning, growing, and maturing in Christ? And how did we do it helping one another this year? I think we, again, without going to Scripture, know that that's the right thing to do. We should help one another. We should care for one another. But Scripture, again, is clear on that. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Philippians 2:4 says, "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others." In 1 John 3:17, "But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?" The church in Acts will also demonstrate care when they an issue and the widows have needs that need to be met, and the church quickly just finds a way to meet those needs while also continuing the work of sharing Christ and the good news. We've all been called to assist one another, to help meet the needs of those around us, to think of others, to build one another up. There are needs that need to be met here in this body, needs that can be met outside these walls, and we are the people called to help those, to help one another. And to do this is to be like Christ. So how well did we do at helping one another this year? I don't ask all these questions to judge you, to say that you didn't do a good enough job. I ask them to challenge us, because hopefully we recognize we didn't do a good enough job at doing this, because we can always do better at all of these. We can better follow Christ. we can better imitate Christ. We can better do better at making more disciples. We can serve better. We can grow, learn, and mature in a greater way. And we can help one another better. We can do all of this greater than we've done. Every day we can make that realization that we can be doing better. This may have been our 2025 yearly theme, but being like Jesus is not something we do for just a year. Or following Christ was not something just set aside for 2 months of the year 2025. I think we all recognize that this should be who we are always, our identity, going in through 2025 and beyond. There is no limit to who these apply to. There's no age requirement to being like Jesus, and there's no age cap on when we've completed being like Christ. Every year when I would get that Spotify Wrapped, I'd see how much music I listened to, and for some reason, I would make a goal that I wanted to listen to more music. I don't know why I wanted to, but I wanted to see that number grow. I would see the numbers my friends listened to, and I'd want to catch up to them. And so, for some reason, that was my goal. Well, looking back on 2025 and looking toward 2026, I'm not as worried now as I, for some reason, was about music and the minutes listened to. Yeah, looking into 2026, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to follow Jesus better than I did this year. Imitate Jesus, make more disciples for Jesus, to serve like Jesus, to learn, grow, and mature in Jesus, and to help one another like Jesus better than I have this last year. Here in a few days, many will make resolutions. I'm sure many of us do that every year, to decide to go to the gym more, to eat healthier, to spend more quality time with family or friends. Whatever those resolutions are, we make them often, especially at this time of the year for some reason. We set aside deciding to make changes for the first day of a new year. Well, today, I resolve to be more like Jesus. Tomorrow, in the coming days, the coming weeks, the months that follow, and every year that follows from this point on, won't you resolve to be more like Jesus with me?